Welcome to the Native Broadcast Network. We are going to get on the air, and we're going to do a little bit of different things here, ladies and gentlemen.
You got it right, this fella? You got it right, Stuart?
But you might want to see this.
What's going on?
It's a powwow.
It's a powwow. You know, we've been going through episode 5. We've been going through different episodes on the Native Broadcast Network. We're on the powwow trail. We have some great guests, our great guest on the line with us today, Chilba. You know, that is one of the greatest Native American actresses who's was on a very long running series called Northern Exposure. If you don't know what Northern Exposure was, it is a show that went over 110 episodes. It ran from 1990 to 1995. It had a little over 57 Grammy nominations with over 26 nominated wins. So that is a very big accomplishment for the Native Broadcast Network, and to have this wonderful guest who has taken a little bit of time to come sit in with us. Aren't you? Isn't that something pretty cool there, Chilby?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's really nice on our guest's behalf there.
So what do you think about 5 years? Wow, that's pretty good accomplishment, you think?
Oh, yeah, man. That's longer than any of my relationships, man.
Oh, man. I don't have a relationship. Well, my wife just looked at me, so I better not say something like that again. That was a mistake. But you know what? We are on to the 5th episode today, Trilby, and, you know, this episode of the Powwow Trail, we're either going to have a spirited debate or a heated debate or maybe a funny debate on the topic of something that we might want to all listen and pay attention to. It's the powwows today. Are they commercial or are they traditional? And this discussion today, we're going to talk to you, and ladies and gentlemen, just to let you know our disclaimer, it's all based on opinion. It will not be our factuals, because we know there are a lot of tribes and they all have different, very proud traditional cultures. So we don't want you to take these statements as factual. But with that, do you think powwows today are traditional in nature or more commercial, Trilby?
Well, let's see. Do you want the truth?
Well, I do want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
What the
hell? There
you
go, man.
You can't handle the truth. And we can't handle the truth because we don't know if the Powwow Trail is really commercial or traditional.
Oh, yeah. That's an interesting question. There are some really good powwows that have I'd like to go back to. But, you know, they're just too expensive to go to nowadays, man. And there's some more powwows that are on the commercial side. And then, but also, you know, it's kind of hard to go to powwows as a powwow. You know, I'm a professional powwow bum, you know. I never went out and got a job and, you know, did that whole thing growing up. You know, it was always powwows. That's how I made my living.
Yeah.
Dancing, singing, making arts and crafts, CDs, selling, you know. So I've always hustled at powwows. You know, our whole family's always hustled at powwows, and that's how we made our living. But, you know, nowadays, you know, everything's more expensive to go to this powwow, and the traditional powwows are fun to go to. They're more laid back and stuff, but we'll get into all this stuff today.
We'll get into all that. And you know what, Trilby, before we get into this discussion, let's get everybody lined up, and I think we finally got that sound bit going. So let's see if this works here.
All right.
Breaking, the sun touches fire. I got to
to the Native Broadcast Network with the Native Guys.
I'm Russ.
And I'm Trilby.
Welcome to the Powwow Trail with the Native Guys. Hoo-cha! Greatest guest as we brought out again on the line, and we're going to invite her on. And again, she is probably one of the most respected persons that I enjoy and appreciate because of what she has done in her life and in her acting career. And we want to invite you, Miss Elaine Miles. Hello, Elaine. How are you today?
Hello, hello. How's everybody doing today?
We're doing all right.
Doing good. Doing good.
Yep.
So Elaine, it's Friday. We know you're going to get ready to go to a powwow this weekend, but you know what? Trilby's got some questions so we can get you caught up to episode 5 so we can really get into this debate, and we want you to be honest. So Trilby's going to throw some questions at you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
Elaine, this is Trilby here. We're gonna ask you a few questions that we've asked during the first 4 episodes, trying to get you caught up on our show, and so we can go on with this episode 5 here. So our first show is, what is a powwow to you?
A powwow to me is a get-together, seeing friends from far away, family, you know, because like me, I live in Seattle, so I don't really get to see my family in Oregon much. So when a powwow comes to town, or if I'm going to a powwow, I see family, I see friends, I make new friends. All right.
We'll go into question number 2 here. This is from our episode 2, but what's one of your earliest powwow memories?
My earliest is like when I was a little girl at home on our reservation is the Umatilla Reservation in northeastern Oregon. We always had social powwows and celebrated all the holidays, you know. And this one time, I started dancing when I was a year or 10 months old. I danced my first contest when I was a year old. And that year, my dad and I danced in a father-child dance at the Father's Day powwow, and I really didn't want to because I was the only little girl out there. And but I danced with my dad. I danced just like the boys did, but I had my little dress on, and we had to do the duck and dive. And my dad was, I remember him looking down at me and smiling, and I was smiling and dancing, and, you know, we have pictures of that. And it's cool because we actually won first place too. And
oh wow!
Back in them days, we didn't have like money. We have Pendletons that they gave us, so I still have my little Pendleton.
Cool. That's a pretty early memory.
That's a great memory.
Yeah.
From my memory, I'm gonna go put my head in the sand now. Hey.
All right. Question number three. Tell us a story about one of your powwow snags.
Weecha.
Oh my. Well, that one's gonna go way back too, from the time my very first, like, I guess you could call him my snag, was at Crow Fair. I was 13 years old. And he came by, well, my aunt's camp, we were with my aunt, and he came by and asked me if I wanted to walk around. So I walked around with this Sioux boy, you know. It was fun. That was my first.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I can't tell you, but the first snag I really had. No.
Yeah, this is a daytime show here, so.
That could be an episode later. Later on down the night, we can get that episode.
We'll put that on our midnight showing.
Yeah, right?
All right. Yeah. Our fourth question is it's kind of a two-parter. It's what's your favorite style to dance and what's your favorite style to watch?
My favorite style, I dance my own style, women's traditional, or I guess you'd say women's northern traditional, since they're southern and northern. But I've always dressed my own style from my res, and I've always, like, one woman came up to me in May and said she remembers me dancing when I was younger, and she goes, I haven't changed. And then I was like, yeah, I don't really, because I guess I could hear my grandma and them, you know, get mad and telling me, you know, that's not our style, don't dance that way. This is how we were, you know, how I was brought up. And I do wear a crow dress, but I was, you know, given that crow dress, so I was given the right to wear it, and I'm adopted by a couple crow families, so I wear that. And but, you know, my favorite dance of all is, two, crow style, men's crow style, and men's southern straight, because those are the two that have never, they never change their style or their style of dress, you know, because I guess you could say I'm like old fashioned, because I don't like the contemporary traditional. It's like way too much feathers,
flash.
Too much. Yeah, it's like, I guess I'm old fashioned. I just like that, you know, dress your own style. You know, that's what I brought my son up to do that. I was like, that's not our way. You know, it's dress the way we dress. Let people know where we come from, you know, and I guess that's why I like the crow, because they've never changed. And Southern Straight. Oh, my God. It's like, yeah, those two are my favorite. I could sit for hours and just watch those men dance.
All right, you Southern Straight dancers, if you're listening in, you've got a watcher who loves you. Hey, God.
I know, right?
She's going to be stalking you next time, Straight dancers.
But, yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? That catches her up to episode 5. So,
you know, that Elaine, you brought out some great points about being a traditional and old style, because that actually, you know, like Trilby brought out, that's what we're going to talk about today, our debate, our spirited discussion. And we all have views and opinions, and our earliest recollections of powwows like yours, you know, it's, you can agree that powwow has changed, right?
Yes. It really has changed. Because when I grew up, we used to drive a long ways, Montana, Idaho, Canada, just to dance. You know, it was, they didn't have the big bucks back then, but we didn't have to pay, you know, to dance. we just went to dance. If we placed good, we got $100, $200. But in them days, that was a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, because gas wasn't an arm and a leg like it is now.
Yeah, that's what I was talking to Russ. Yeah, that's what I was talking to Russ about a couple episodes ago. Is when my family traveled on the Powwow Trail. You know, we would leave in May and go up the coast, hit go up to Highway 2 and hit all those Highway 2 powwows through Washington, Montana, and then up into Canada. But you know, from we lived in Phoenix at the time, so from Arizona to Canada it took us less than $100 in gas back then.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
it was
about
nothing. It's like now you have to pay an arm and a leg, you know, to go anywhere. I mean, Christ, my truck, I have to, it's $100 to fill my truck.
Ah,
you know?
Wow.
Like,
that means I got to go hawk my TV next time I go powwow.
Right? Yeah. That's why my house is home, you know, because it's like I can't afford to go to Mandaree where my heart's at, you know?
Golly.
All right, so you know, we know some of the traditional, you know, we talked a little bit about the traditional side of the powwows. What are some of the things that you've seen that that have commercialized powwows today?
What I see as commercializing is like now as dancers and drummers, singers, they have to pay to like even be in the contest. And to me, that's real commercialized because back in the day, you didn't have to pay, you know, $5. And if you have kids, you know, that's $5 a head.
Yeah.
And thinking about gas money and food and powwow food is another thing. It's like a heart and a liver to get anything to eat, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, that's another difference from, you know, when we went to powwow in Canada. Every session, they would come around and pay every individual singer for coming to their powwow.
Right? Yeah, they used to. Yeah. And then they even used to feed people. You can't go to a powwow today where they actually feed people, you know? And that's what I miss is like going. I have friends, you know, if they're from wherever I'm at, and they'll say, come eat. But it's like they pick and choose now who you feed. And, like, when my mom was alive and we were at home in Pendleton during our 4th of July powwow, my mom would put up a camp, and then I'd look at her and go, Mama, we're not camping. And she goes, well, I'm going to feed the people. That's the way we were brought up, and that's what I'm going to do. And we would. We'd cook, you know, and buy soda and everything because she goes, these people come a long ways for our powwow. We have to feed them, and that's the way we are. That's how we were brought up. And so, you know, my sister and I, we still do that, you know, with our friends. We'll see them, hey, if you guys haven't eaten, come eat with us, you know. And that's just how powwow people were. We took care of each other, you know. But nowadays, you don't. You have to go buy a $10 Indian taco, you know, or $15 burger, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know it.
Yeah, and, you know, that's another thing I remember from back in my powwow days. Even when I lived in Reno, Nevada, at the Namaga powwow every Labor Day weekend, you know, we helped out the family that would feed every year. You know, we would go out and help them hunting. If they needed help hunting, we would go out hunting, you know, a week or two before the powwow and help them. Our family would try to help any way possible because, you know, we were living in the area back then and, you know, we felt like we were part of the community. So that's another thing I've noticed, too, is, you know, that I miss was going out hunting for prairie dogs is what they liked out there. So
Yeah, because it's like nowadays it's so different. It's not like it used to be. I mean, back in the day, they would just have like social powwows, you know. It's like we used to feed people and they'd be happy with that. And then the drummers and, I mean, we used to have people from Browning come clear to Pendleton or Fort Hall or, you know, Wyoming, they would come to our little two-night powwow, you know, and we'd give them gas money, but, you know, that was it. It wasn't like a big powwow that had buku bucks, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
So, Elaine, you know, we got some great examples about traditional and commercial, and because of the stream of time that we're living in, do you think that we've adapted to these things, or do you think it's just we just want to do these things because we know that's how we have to make a living today. And some people, it's hard. My dad told me it was hard to be on the powwow trail. I tell you what, it was hard. Do you think things are changing in life, you know?
Yeah, because, you know, when my mom and my sisters and I, we used to powwow, and my dad would stay home and work. And then we'd call my dad, you know, oh, babe won, or, you know, oh, the girls won, or we won in a parade, so we're going to go to the next powwow. We'll see you next, you know, after next week, you know. And my dad was like, okay, well, call if you need money. But we always, you know, one of us would place, so we'd go. And that's how we made our living, too, you know. It's like when growing up, that's what I did. If we weren't hitting the rodeos, we were hitting the powwows.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's another thing, too, back when we were traveling a long time ago is if we won, if our family made, say, we made $3,000, which was a lot of money a long time ago, that was just enough to get us to the next powwow. The next powwow, we could bomb out and only make $300. That was just enough to get us to the next powwow.
Right? You know, that's the way it was. But nowadays, it's like, you know, people kind of like make their living off of it, you know, and it's good because nowadays they actually have those big bucks, you know. They have the $25,000 prize money for drumming, you know. Well, good for you, but you got to remember you have 10 to 15 guys singing with you that you got to, you know.
Yeah. Do you think
break it up and then, like, winning for dancing, you know? It's like they have good prize money. They have, like, 6 places now, you know? Back in the day, we were happy with a trophy and $100, you know?
Yep. So do you think that you know, that is another thing, too. I remember that. They don't give out trophies no more at powwows.
I haven't seen them. Not in a while.
Yeah, you know, actually, we were just talking
about
that.
And they don't give out horses anymore. Well, maybe, like, in Montana, you know, the Dakotas, they still do. But I remember around here, they used to give, like, my grandpa and them used to give horses to the first place winner, you know. And that was a big thing, you know, then. And then I remember I used to get jackets when I was younger.
Yeah.
And I have jackets that I've worn with my dancing, and I can't fit them, but.
Yeah, you know, your jackets right there. We always give my brother a hard time because everyone in our family has won specials, and we all got jackets, you know. And my brother, he's won grass dance specials, but every time he's won, he's never gotten a jacket. So.
Hey.
And then, you know, a couple years ago, one of my youngest nephews won a jacket, and every time they win a jacket, they go up to my brother and they're like, "Uncle, where's your jacket at?" So that's pretty crazy. But one of my questions was, do you think these powwows that are being charged an arm and a leg to get in, even your vendors now, I heard, are paying, you know, $8,000 to $1,000 to get in, you know, and that's how they make their living,
you know,
is traveling around.
A small space, too. I mean, sometimes I think that's really ridiculous. I mean, to charge so much. And then, like, some places you go and we have to pay, like I say, $5, maybe $3. But there are powwows where you pay $10, $15, and sometimes $20 to register. I was like, are you serious? You know, it's like, oh, my God. It's just, I don't know, that's just too much. I mean,
Do you think
people go there to dance, you know, and then to have to pay to dance, that's kind of crazy.
And that's, and before you make your point there, Chobi, you know, that's the one thing is I can remember one of my grandpas, I'm not going to say his name because out of respect, but he used to say, I don't want to pay yay amount of money to go watch somebody I can go and watch dance right here for free.
It's not right.
Why should I pay $20 to watch this person who I watch dance every weekend for free? You know that, and that's where we are, the commercialism of it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You think part of the committees today are it's just newer committees You think the newer committees are charging this money to, I mean, what do you think it is, the newer committees? Because it seems like when a powwow family or someone who's been in the powwows, you know, you can kind of see the differences, I think, from traditional powwows to more commercial powwows. You know, when it's a family,
yeah, there
powwow
is.
Family run a powwow,
see.
You can tell the differences. Yeah.
Yep, you can. You can see that. And then, like, some of the powwows I've been to, like, some of the people that run them were never really powwow people. You know,
yeah.
And then that's where I see they charge, you know. And then, like, when my mom was alive, she's like, well, that's because they were raised white. They think of it as money instead of,
yeah.
You know, thinking of it as the power to get together and socialize. She goes, that's where they're losing it because they're influenced. And then I'd look at
yeah.
my mom and think, dang, Mom, that's like, and she goes, well, it's true. And then now, you know, my mom has passed on, but I go to these powwows and I can see that, you know, it's changed. And it's like people wouldn't come to a powwow where it's just, hey, can you come and sing and dance? It's like a graduation powwow, you know,
yeah.
just come and, you know, rejoice with us. You know, my child has graduated. They won't do that. They want to be paid now. And it's like, they're losing, to me, it's like they're losing it to the commercialism. You know, the traditional things they don't want to do anymore. And it's sad,
yeah, and
you know.
You made a great point earlier about the youth and the younger ones, about the money. And I guess that commercialism is about where you're wanting to get all these best drum groups. But again, you have to make all this money. And as a business student, and this is my nerdiness coming out now, because of business, that's how they run things. You know, you have to break even. But again, it's taking away the reality of why some of us go to powwows. You know, and you brought the point about traditional powwows. We go there to make others feel good. Maybe somebody's
right.
feeling bad, and that song that drum group sings, that beat from that drum, as they say, that spirit's coming out into that arena. And
mm-hmm.
and when we see the commercialism and the pain and all this, it kind of takes away from that. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I do. And to me, like, when I dance, I truly dance for people that can't. Because that's
yeah.
the way I was brought up. Because I don't go to the powwow to compete. I go to the powwow to dance and think. I think of my mom. I think of my grandma. I think of my grandpa. It's just, and then I have like family that are sick. You know, they can't be there. They loved powwows. They can't be
mm-hmm.
out on the floor. I dance for them. You know, give them strength. You know, to get whatever they're going through.
Oh, yeah.
Dance with a good heart, with a caring heart. You know, that's the way I was brought up.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And so do you think because of the things that were going on, the way we're putting more money, the emphasis is on the money. You can obviously tell that the emphasis is on the money. But again, 100 years ago, maybe we would have been like the Kiowas, you know, we were horse people. We had a lot of horses and giving away a lot of horses that would show us things. But over the time, do you think we've lost sight of what a traditional powwow is and the reasons for powwows today?
It was lost. It's been lost. To me, it's like, well, at home on our res, they still actually have social powwows. I mean, like, they try and teach our kids from our res that, you know, sure, the big powwows with the buku bucks are nice if you can afford it. But if you can't, enjoy what you're doing. Enjoy your being able to dance. Don't be angry if you don't place. And then the
yeah.
way they do it at home, they have them, like, they call it the one is there for the kids. They powwow for the kids because the kids on our res, they start early. And they drum, they sing, and they dance. And that powwow is for them. And I like it because everybody goes, you know. It's like people from Yakima, people from Warm Springs, they come. Sometimes people from Idaho come, you know. And that's good because it shows our kids that, you know, we can still have a social powwow. We're not giving big money. You get a toy, you get a bike, you know. You get a Game Boy, you know. It's something like that. It's nothing real big like the $300, $400, $500 for a kid, you know, or $1,500 for adult categories. You know, you get a Pendleton blanket, and yeah. They still go for that, you know. And that's yeah. That's something I like. I like to go to powwows like this powwow from the Coeur d'Alene tribe. You know, was one of the biggest powwows money wise. You know, and people from everywhere came. And this year it was canceled, or last year. And then they said they'd have it again. And then they said it's canceled, but it's going to be a one-day powwow. And it's sad because everybody kind of lost interest in it. And I was like, for a one-day powwow, I'll still go. You know,
yeah,
if I'm around, I will go to it. You know, but that's just me.
And I agree with you on that, because I'm a person, I want to go to a powwow to hear to watch the dancing, to watch the people dance the style, the different traditions, and to hear the singing. Because sometimes, like I mentioned earlier, I might not be feeling good, or maybe I go and I see a good friend I haven't seen in a long time. But,
right,
you know,
right.
The commercialism that we have today. Because I would love to go to some of these great big powwows, but I know the spirit isn't there. Could you agree with that?
Right. You know it's not there. You know.
Yeah. And the one thing I don't like today, you know, like it's good to have all these junior adults, senior adults categories and mixed and split categories, but when you go to these powwows, man, they only get maybe one or two intertribals for the whole weekend nowadays. You know.
Oh, I know, right? It's ridiculous because you dress up and the only time you really dance is in your contest or that one intertribal. And
yeah.
it's you sit there all day long waiting, you know, and then they won't let you, like, change or whatever. But I wasn't brought up like that. Once you dress up, you stay dressed. Even
yep,
to the very last. You
yeah,
know.
And that was one thing that me and my brother used to do. You know, it'd be 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning at powwows, and you know, we'd still be walking around in our outfits. You know, at the powwow,
right?
And stuff,
right.
You know?
that's how I was brought up.
Yeah, but not to mention, you know, that was how we stood out in the snagging lane.
Yeah, you
know, 3 o'clock in the morning, still dressed up.
But in all seriousness, you know, and some of the things that you guys mentioned about being dressed up, you know, sometimes because they're so commercial, they just going to get dressed for grand entry and then they're just going to go and take off because they know. And then that just kind of me is just taken away again from the powwow.
Yeah. I also see some dancers, you know, they'll come in grand entry and then they'll go back either to their drum or they'll go get undressed. Until they hear that their contest is
yeah.
coming up again, you
and
know?
That's
so.
And that's where we can sit there and say, yeah, that's pretty commercialized right there,
yeah.
right?
yeah, I mean, right.
I've done it once or twice myself too on them hot days, but you know it's not a continuous thing, so.
Yeah. Well, I can understand on the hot days. I mean, sometimes it's best to do that because otherwise you get heat stroke. You know, it's like. Sometimes, like, I've been to powwows before where they don't even dance until evening because the heat is so ungodly, unbearable, you know? It's like,
yeah.
That's the kind of powwows I like, where they don't make you come out, you know, in the triple digits and dance, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's
tough when
you
have
actually,
buckskin on.
Yeah, and actually, I'm going to a traditional powwow this weekend up on the Kickapoo Reservation, and, you know, that's another thing, you know, they don't have grand entry till 8 o'clock tonight and tomorrow night.
Well, it's hot here in Kansas. What do you expect?
Yeah.
I know, it's humid there.
We don't need them dancers passing out, but, hey, Elaine, we're going to take a short little break, and we're going to pick this right back up. Trilby's got some music that he brought in, and we're going to play that, if you don't mind, and we're going to get a little 15-minute break. We'll give you about 15-minute break, and then we'll come right back to you.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, all right. So we're going to play some music, and we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, God.
When you're mad, when you're mad. Hey.
Podcast Network on Some Guy Talking. Here we are with Elaine Miles, who's on the phone. We just had a great music break there. Trilby, what in the world? We had some great stuff. You were dancing around. I even started. Why were you doing the head spin? What's that about?
That's a part of my new styles I'm trying to bring out in a contemporary traditional.
Elaine Miles, are you on the air with us? We are enjoying our visit with you because you've made some great points and we've had some great discussion here today.
Oh, good. Thank you. I enjoyed the music. I was dancing around here too.
All right. Did you notice where any of that music comes from?
Yeah. My dad used to listen to the Stomp Dance.
He went to school
at high school, and he lived down at, in Creek Country. He had a Creek woman.
We had some Apache songs in there. We had some bird songs from Southern California tribe.
I think that last one was a smoke dance, right?
Yep, last one was smoke dance from over in New York. And then the last three were from New York. The first two to the end were from a Tuscarero tribe out there. And that last one
was, I believe,
the Senecas.
And, you know, Elaine, I thought it was pretty neat that Chewy picked those songs because we were talking about powwows, traditional or commercial. So we do know a lot of tribes, we do all have these traditional ways, but it's just about the powwow. It's commercialized, you know, and that's where we're at in the stream of time. And we're just trying to debate it. Is it really commercial or is it really traditional? And that's where it's open to the really debate.
Yeah,
even
I like
nowadays,
those bird dances. I've been to a few bird dances. I love those. I mean, it's like the first time I seen it, I was like, oh, my God, what is it? And then they asked me to go join them, and I was like, okay, what do I do? You know, because it's a little different than powwow. I enjoyed it. I love the music.
Oh, yeah. Forgot what I was going to say now.
Because you stumped him. Good job, Elaine.
Yeah. Some of the traditional powwows that I used to go to, or even like recently too, is in Wisconsin. A couple summers ago, I spent like a whole month up there just hitting up powwows on in Carter, Wisconsin, and up the road to Odena, then down to Black River Falls, you know. And so, you know, those traditional powwows were really, really fun because, you know, they paid everybody to come in who would dance, you know, more like an honorarium for showing up. And then they would pay their drum groups, like how the distance that they came. And that was I really liked those powwows too, because once you got there, you know, it was just singing one after another, you know, intertribal exhibitions, you know. Those powwows are really fun to go to as well too. So.
I know those are the kind I like to go to. I mean, you know, it's they're just fun. You know, it's different because that no one's competing. You know, you don't feel that. You know, because some people go to these powwows and if they don't win, they get mad. They want to check the books. You know, it's like really, just dance. You know, have fun.
Yeah.
That's what powwows are about, you know,
I always wondered about committees, you know, every time I've seen people like, I want to check the books, the committee would say, okay, no problem, here you go. But what changed, I would remember like in the early 90s was like, okay, you know what, you want to check the books, it's $1,000 to check the books.
What happened
now
to that?
Yeah.
Those are the ones that make you wonder why they don't want you checking their books.
You got $100
yeah,
for that protest.
Exactly. Exactly. I was just
Sorry, go ahead. I'm just interrupting you again. My fault.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask you, Elaine, do you think because the way powwows have been more commercial that it's actually taken away from our traditional singers because they're finding that money more important than staying home and helping around in their own areas? Because I do know that does happen, that the powwow money is more important than staying around and helping with traditional powwows. Have you ever noticed that?
Yes, I have. And that's kind of sad, you know, because people are forgetting, you know, how they they were raised. You know, it's like me, I can't forget because literally my parents beat it into me, you know. I'm one of those kids that survived, you know, the beatings. And I, but I could just hear my grandma and my grandpa, you know, talking about the traditional ways, you know. And like I said, when you're out there singing, you know, that song could have meant something, you know, something to someone that's not there anymore, you know. And it makes their family think of them, you know, and you could feel, you know, the loneliness that they have. And so you dance, you know, you dance to that song and to give them strength, you know, to hear it and think of their loved ones, you know. And it's just sad because nobody thinks like that anymore. It's all just money, you know, and it's like, you know, because I've done contests for my mom, you know, in honor of my mom when she was alive. And that was the first thing people would ask me, how much is your prize money? You know, and then all of a sudden I had all the little friends, you know, women that would never even talk to me. It's like, hey, you know, I heard you're having a special. And I was like, yeah. And then I wouldn't say anything. And then it'd come time for my mom's special. I go, it's for my mom. I honored my mom because my mom was a powwow person too. I honored my mom, you know, because I knew she wasn't going to make it. So I honored her while she was alive. And it was kind of funny because I made it, you know, because it was for my mom. I go 45 and up. So all these women were mad at me. And I was like, you know what? It was for my mom. My mom. So it's for the women that were 45 and up.
Good.
You know, that's how I honor. You know, you honor those older women.
Yeah, a couple of years ago at our power, you know, I had a special, you know, our family had a special for my dad, you know, to honor him. Because, you know, that was one thing I was always told is, that not told, but I learned and was taught growing up, is that if you want to show respect to somebody, show it to them while they're still here.
Yes.
Right?
You know, and that's one,
exactly
that's why.
You know, that's how were brought up the right way then, because that's the way, you know, we were brought up. On my res,
once I had this this contest, you know, everybody found out I was putting on this men's traditional contest. Man, my Facebook friends went from 300 to 1,000.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm still mad at you because you didn't pick me, Chobi. I was one of them 3,000 people who joined his Facebook, so I'm mad. Hey, I hate to tell you this, Elaine. We're almost out of time.
This was fun. It was a lot of fun.
It is. You know what? And we enjoyed having you on here because one of the things we wanted to do was, Chobi, were we able to handle the truth?
You can't handle the truth!
Yeah, you handled it pretty good.
We all handled it pretty good. But hopefully those listening in, was able to bring you a little thought to what goes on about powwows and where we are in the stream of time, right? Because we're in a different time period, and we can see the differences in powwows from 100 years ago to where we are now, and it's changing. So, Elaine Miles, we want to give you this
last... Well, not really 100 years ago. It was only like maybe 30 years ago. You know, it's changed in like 30 years. So,
Yeah.
All right, we're just about off the air here. So thank you for coming in today or calling in today, Elaine. It's nice to meet you.
Thank you for having me. It was nice talking with y'all.
And we're going to have you back, Elaine. You know, like I talked to you earlier, so we're going to have you back more often. You really livened our discussion up here.
Okay.
All right. You enjoy your day, Elaine.
You too. I know tomorrow I'm going to the Storm Atlanta game.
All right. Cheer on.
Miss Schimmel.
Shoni. Miss Schimmel. We chow.
Yeah.
And thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Elaine Miles. We appreciate you. And we certainly hope you enjoy the powwow trail. Hookah!
Thank you. Okay, have a good day.
Yep, we'll see ya.